Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
All right, my minions, welcome to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquez. We do this thing called The Balance every Saturday morning. You have stumbled across the number one sports talk show in the nation, in the world, in the World Wide Web as well, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. What a great week it's been in sports. Well, certainly we're going to talk about Tony Stewart being back in the car, because that's what we do. We're also going to be talking some IndyCar championship. And guess what else happened this week? Football. Can I get an amen? That's right. We got some football talk. The Colts, the Broncos out in Denver, Colorado, out at Mile High City. I don't think it's called Mile High Stadium anymore. We'll have to get into that conversation. And, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about some Indiana high school football and some Colts talk and, of course, the fantasy football huddle. Typically, we would have Elizabeth the Greek, but I don't think we're going to have her this week. But we'll try to get our best to get her on next week. My name is Tom Marquez, El Presidente. You're the Minions, and I am your fearless leader for the next 2 hours. Myself and that redneck from Philly will guide you through this crazy world that we call sports. My name is Tom Marquez, El Presidente. Stick around. Yeah, I almost said something I should have said. Put it this way. This is about to get good right here on The Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana.
Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Marge, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Welcome back to the Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Glad to have you along. If you want to join in the conversation about any topic that we have today, 917-889-8516 is our digits. Want to thank all of our friends out at Indiana Talks who are now joining us on our encore presentation, which, by the way, runs between 1 and 3 p.m. every Saturday afternoon over on Indiana Talks. So if you missed this wonderful live broadcast, well, we're so glad that you're listening to us on the Encore. Of course, you can follow us on social media and all of our family of social media counterparts that we have. Pro Indy, if you're a fan of Indianapolis pro sports, whether that be the Colts, the Pacers, the Fever, the Indians, the Indy 11, high school football, you name it, we got it over at Pro Indy. If you like IndyCar, Open Wheel Racing, IndyInMay.com is the place for you. And if you like baseball, at 2 Hot Corner, well, that's the place for you. And if you like everything, well, right here is the place to be, is The Balance as well. And joining me now is my partner in crime, the one, the only, redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Kevin, how are we doing today, sir?
We're doing good, brother.
Doing good, brother. Doing good,
yeah.
Brother. How's your voice? You sound a little bit better this week than you did last week.
A little. Not a whole lot, but a little bit better.
A little, but not a whole lot. A little, but not a whole lot. That's what she said. 917-889-8516 is my digits. You know, Kevin, we could get into this during the iPod shuffle. You know, I saw an interesting study this week, and I always knew it was true. I always knew that this was a fact of life, and it's just taken medical science this long to get up to speed. They say that if you stare at breastises, it is good for the heart, good for the ticker. So I'm just saying, for all you ladies that say, hey, the eyes are up here, we're trying to keep our ticker strong. I'm just saying.
That's right, we're doing it for our health.
Oh, of course, today in 2014, there's probably a lot of women that keep their ticker going as well, too. But we won't get into that conversation, will we? We digress. You know, I just found that an interesting study, Kevin. You know, maybe, hey, girls, what do you think? Give us a call. Do you want us to keep our ticker in shape? 917-889-8516. Let us know, is it all right to stare at your breastises? I want to hear a woman tell us, Kevin, that it's okay to stare at your breastises.
It would be nice to hear that
but
from them.
Hey, you know what? We would put it on the air and say, hey, it is okay to look at our breastises because it is a fact of life. We have to keep our ticker strong. We don't want to die too young.
Well, no.
Did I leave you speechless there, Kevin
Chapman?
All right, let's get into some NASCAR talk. Well, let's get into some NASCAR talk. Of course, Tony Stewart returning to the track down in Atlanta, Hot Atlanta, and not really quite the performance that he wanted, but certainly a milestone. Got a standing ovation there in Atlanta when he got back into the car, and certainly hit the wall twice. Certainly, you know, the conspiracy theories would come together and say it was intentional. Of course, it was just racing. Kevin, as we look at Tony Stewart smoke returning to the race car, what are your thoughts before we get into the conversations about the chase in Richmond this weekend?
Well, you know, I was kind of questioning what type of reception he'd get during the driver introduction, and I was quite pleased. You know, the one thing I don't like during the driver introduction, and this is for anybody, no matter what the situation is, when the drivers go out there and you get a lot, you know, there's always those boos and the cheers and all that, and I really expected Tony Stewart to get a lot more boos. Now, he did hear some, but I was glad he got the ovation he did. You know, that had to be tough for him just to walk out there and not know, you know what I mean, what type of reception he was going to get. As far as the driving, think about it. It's been 3 weeks off before we stepped foot in a NASCAR event, and those cars are not easy to master. I don't care how long you've been doing it. You take 3 weeks off, and you're going to be a little bit rusty. So performance-wise, I think him and his team did pretty well.
Well, and it's certainly going to be interesting, and you know, again, as we've talked about it, and we've talked about it to death, so we'll try not to talk about it too awfully much more unless something really drastic happens outside of just the normal race talk with Tony Stewart. It's unfortunate that it happened. It's unfortunate that we had to deal with that situation, but I'm glad that he's back in a race car. We're glad we get things going. So we're down here at Richmond. Going on at Richmond? Did you see the pictures? Are they now boat racing now, Kevin, or what?
I think they are.
Good God! If you missed it, well, I mean, certainly it's been all over Facebook, social media, NASCAR.com. I mean, it'd be pretty easy to find. I guess there was a flood in the infield, the way I understand it, of sorts. And ironically enough, we just had the president of Richmond International Raceway on with us last week talking about his track and, you know, how great that infield is. And something happened. I don't know if the Beaver Dam broke or what happened. And Kevin, did you hear what caused such a massive flooding? When I'm talking massive, it was up to their knees, and you saw it over the top of tires. So, and when I mean tires, you know how they've got the race tires stacked up.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I've been trying to look and read, too, and I haven't seen anything that has said why, which is a shame because, you know, it, like we talked last week, I've been to that infield, and God, it's a great time. So I can just imagine those people in the tents and stuff that are camping out, how they – well – I should say, where they found their tent floating down the infield might have been quite interesting.
And I agree with you completely, Kevin. Kevin, can you hear me okay?
Sounds like you're in an elevator right now.
Sounds like I'm in an elevator. We're experimenting with some new equipment here.
What about now, Kevin?
There you
go. Can you hear me okay now? Do I sound better or worse? Do I sound better or worse? Check mic. All right,
better.
Here we go. And you sound better as well. You've never sounded better, Kevin. And, you know, we appreciate the patience of our listeners. You know, as we strive and we're a work in progress, we've got new equipment and new audio and new studio here atop our luscious Balance Radio Studios in Avon, Indiana. And so, you know, we just sometimes got to work out the gremlins as they happen, as we move along. Let's talk a little bit about the new sponsor. NASCAR got a new sponsor, Xfinity. Comcast is a big deal there with is no longer going to be the Nationwide Series as of next year. It's now going to be called the Xfinity Series.
And I with and I think Xfinity's doing this. I mean, DirecTV and all of them have a lot of issues right now, and I, marketing-wise, I think this is a pretty smart choice of them to take something on like the Nationwide Series and be the primary sponsor.
Well, you know, it certainly is an expensive proposition for anybody, and so certainly I guess Nationwide has ran its course, and we'll see what happens with that. We'd like to hear your thoughts on NASCAR on Richmond, 917-889-8516. Well, Kevin, let's get into this standing talk. We're down to the chase. We're down to the run. Who's going to get in? Who's going to be out? Let's talk a little bit. We'll start over at the Truck Series, certainly Johnny Sauber, Matt Crafton, Ryan Blaney, and Darrell Wallace Jr. Now, there's one that he's certainly up one spot from last week, as well up from the number five spot to the number four spot in the Camping World Truck Series.
I like Wallace Jr. You know, I've always been a fan of his when he's come into it. Of course, he has the heritage, you know, with his dad and the teams. It's going to be good. You know, one thing with the truck races is they always say that the bumping and racing, you know, and if you want to watch some bumping and racing, I'll tell you this much right now. There is more of that in the trucks than I think in any of the field. I don't know what it is with the drivers and the truck series, but those boys have no problems putting their truck into a wall, trying to get somebody else. It's a fun thing to watch when it comes to truck racing.
Well, you know what? It is exciting to see some truck racing. I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of the truck races this year, but certainly it is a different series. We've watched them here in Indianapolis out at the formerly ORP or the Lucas Oil Raceway. Let's look over at the Nationwide Series, which is soon to be the Xfinity Series. Chase Elliott, Regan Smith, Ty Dillon, Elliott Sadler, and Brian Scott. Not the Brian Scott that's going to be joining us here in a few minutes. We're talking some high school football. But Brian Scott, the Nationwide Series driver, certainly Chase Elliott, seems to, with three wins, certainly seems to have a good opportunity to wrap up the championship this year, as long as things go in his way.
Well, I think he will. And that's the guy right there. If you want to look at some of the pure Nationwide drivers, you know, because we've talked about, you've got some that dip down in both. But if you want to talk about somebody who's just a pure chase driver that has a really good shot at being a good driver in the next level, Chase Elliott is one of them to watch. You know, Elliott Sadler tried it. He's a good driver, but he does much better in the Nationwide Series than he does in sprint. But Chase Elliott, I can honestly say, he's going to do very well for Hendrick Motorsports when he comes up to the next level.
And absolutely, and we're certainly going to see how that comes together. Now let's get into the Sprint Cup Series. As we get into the chase, is pretty much set. And Jeff Gordon, as we've talked about, this is his championship to lose. As you know, as I have predicted, and certainly not been any official word, but as I've predicted, the number 24 car, Jeff Gordon, will be done at the end of this year. And I would say most definitely he'll be done if he wins the championship. So you look at Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, Matt Kenseth, 78, Joey Logano, great, bright young kid, got a bright future in the Sprint Car Series, and BK back 90 points and down two slots. So we look at really the tight race is between Jeff Gordon, Dale Jr., Matt Kenseth, and possibly Joey Logano, Kevin.
Well, and it is. Yeah, of course, you have your Canes that got in there with one win. You have your Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch. But when it comes down to the chase, I mean, I really think you're number five and up. Those guys, those three wins, they've obviously proven during the season that they're the guys to watch. You know, and with coming into this race, you've got Jeff Gordon taking number two. You've got Joey Logano taking the pole. And I'll tell you this much, if it comes down to who's going to get that fourth win and go into the chase with with the lead. One of the two wall, cars are going in the wall. I mean, that's all there is to it. But, you know, you've got people like Kyle Larson qualified eighth, so that's sitting 24 points out of the chase. So it's Richmond already has its flair for spurs and its flair for it's a little bumping and racing. So I think this one's even going to have – we might see a little bit more caution flags than we normally see at Richmond this year.
And you cut out right there at the end, Kevin. What did you say right there at the end?
I said, you know, what we're looking at is we are going to have more cautions than you normally see at Richmond. There's going to be some desperate drivers out there. This is the last chance they have. And, you know, we talked about smoke earlier. Let smoke be anywhere near a chance to win and get in the chase, and I guarantee you somebody's going in the wall.
What are your thoughts as we look at, you know, certainly with the starting lineup for the Federated Auto Parts 400 out in Richmond? Side by side there with him in the number two position, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Clint Bowyer, and Ricky Steinhaus Jr., which we all know is Danica's little boy. Wrapping up in the top 10. So, always good to see Danica's boy.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
So, as we look at the starting lineup, or wreck the car, yeah. As we look at the other, sort of the Kyle Larson, Kurt Busch and Carl Edwards try to wrap up the top 10. BK gets the pole in his Miller Lite Ford short track out at Richmond, the Federated Auto Parts 400. Break it down for us, Kevin Chapman.
Well, I mean, and like we just talked about, when you're coming into the chase, I know we have five drivers that are locked for that first place spot, which is obviously going to go down the points at that spot. So you've got five drivers out there that they don't want to go into the chase currently where they're at. You know, you've got somebody like Joey Logano that if he wins today, he's going to be the only one with four wins, and therefore he goes in the front or he goes in third. Same with Jimmy Johnson. He could go in the chase at fifth or he could go in the chase at first. So, you know, everybody thinks that those drivers are going to lay back and you know, they're secure. They know they're in the top five. And I don't think that's going to happen. Richmond is always known for some great night racing, fantastic paint schemes. Almost every year, everybody gets a new paint scheme specifically for Richmond. You know, and there's always sparks. There's always sparks that fly. Tony, you know, so it, like I was saying earlier, you've got people that are outside that chase. You know, Rodney and Greg Biffle, they know if they don't have a good race, they don't have any wins. You know, Matt Kenseth, he's 89 points above anybody outside of the top 16, so he knows he's safe, but you have people like, you know, Kyle Larson, 24 points out of the 16th, but then that win guarantees him in there. So if you want to see a fun race with some drivers literally putting everything they got for that win, tonight's going to be a different Richmond than I think we've ever seen.
Well, it's certainly going to be a very aggressive race. Any dark horses you look for to come out of this race? Certainly, I think that once we have a checkered flag in Richmond tonight, that really we've got our chase set. And so any dark horses that you think is on the bubble there that is either going to be in or out after the end of this race tonight?
It's hard. It's really hard to say dark horses. I mean, some people would look at Kyle Larson as being a rookie, saying he's a dark horse. But as we've talked on the show, I would not consider him a dark horse. He's right there in that bubble. If I see anybody slipping out of it, Greg Biffle really has very little room. I could, a bad showing by Ryan Newman or Greg Biffle, and the reality is both of them are out. So, you know, out of that, you know, if they slip, could I see anybody slide in? You know, with the win, I could see Kyle Larson coming from the eighth spot and pulling the win. You know, Tony Stewart's good on short tracks. You know, he's 26 in points, but with his with the way he drives his short tracks, I can see him coming up, sneaking in there, and taking a win tonight. So, two out of the chase that I would say, if I see making it on wins today, would be Tony Stewart or Kyle Larson.
Well, so the dark horse you think would be Tony Stewart, really?
Well, not a dark horse in the sense of a win, a dark horse in the sense of making the chase. If you look at, I mean, he's 26 points. He has no prayer unless he gets a win. So winning Richmond, no, not a dark horse. Getting in a chase is where I would consider him a dark horse.
I got you. All right, Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. We got just a few more moments left here. What are your thoughts before we get into a break and come back with some high school football with Brian Scott from Scott Spout? Spot Spout.
Well, the question is, are you going to take talking lessons?
I need to stop working on my ticker, right? Go ahead, man.
Something's got to be going here. We got to go out downtown to the canal work on some tickers today. No,
what?
You know,
see, you're trying.
We gotta go down to the canal so we can work on our tickers.
Okay, yes, we need to do that, absolutely. Well, my name is Tom Michael with El Presidente. Great to have you along today. We've got a great show for you, of course, myself and Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Here in just a few moments, we're going to be talking with Brian Scott, going to be breaking down last night's high school football action. And coming up at 10 o'clock, we got Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, going to be talking about those Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos out in Denver. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck come together again. Not quite of as exciting time or media hype this week as it was last October. Certainly, as we remember, last October at Lucas Oil is when Reggie Wayne went down. And certainly we all remember Peyton Manning's look from the sidelines when he saw his friend Reggie Wayne go down. So it's good to see Reggie Wayne back. We're going to be talking a lot about the Colts, you know, in about, we'd say a half hour, 45 minutes. And then, of course, at 10:30, myself and Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, we'll be breaking down the fantasy football huddle, get you ready for your lineups week one. And if you had anybody play Thursday, well, you either played them or you didn't. At this point, it's too late to do that. But if you want to get into any of our conversations, 917-889-8516 is the digits to get to me. Myself and the Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, or any of our guests. And certainly you can follow us on at T-Balance, at ProIndy, at Two Hot Corner, and at IndyInMay.com. It's going to be a great day here at the Balance Radio Studios. Got the coffee going. And so just stick around because it only gets better or worse from here. I'm going to go work on my ticker.
This is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Peter! You just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mike with El Presidente. It is Saturday night. Saturday morning. It feels like Saturday night, especially if you stayed up late watching any or listening to or following any of these high school football games. Had some good action around the state. And joining us now is the man with the plan, the man, the foremost authority of high school football in the state of Indiana, Brian Scott of Brian's Spot. And XRB Radio in Brownsburg joins us, as well as the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Brian, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Man, you know what? It is my pleasure. Absolutely. I know you were out hanging out at the Avon Hamilton Southeastern game last night, and certainly not the outcome I think that a lot of people wanted in that game, but a lot of good action out there in Avon.
Well, I don't know, but if it's a matchup of a couple of perennial Hoosier Crossroads Conference powers, Southeastern's had the better of this matchup over the last 5 or 6 years. But Avon, with Brandon Peters, the junior at quarterback, there's a reason why he is highly sought after. He's already got offers on the table from Vatech and Iowa, and I understand that this weekend he is now making his way up to South Bend to visit Notre Dame. They are interested in him as well. And the Orioles pretty much put it to Hamilton Southeastern. The score was still maybe in doubt in the fourth quarter as Southeastern only trailed by 7, but the stats don't really show how well Avon manhandled Southeastern that entire game. Avon puts a couple of late touchdowns on the board, and they end up winning 31-10. But Brandon Peters, when you take a look of all the quarterbacks here in Central Indiana, especially when we think about Kyle Kastner, Bo Trudeau, Kastner at Ben Davis, Trudeau at Pike, you got Hunter Johnson at Brownsburg, all of them are going to be looked at closely by a lot of colleges. As a matter of fact, Hunter Johnson at Brownsburg already has offers from Purdue and Tennessee on the table as well. So, but out of all those four, I'd say Brandon Peters is probably the best of the four.
Well, and I absolutely agree with you. And what a great, talented kid this is. I mean, really, if you were to predict where he'd end up at, where do you think that he would end up at? Certainly, he's getting offers, and I can only assume with a kid with this talent, it's going to there's going to be more offers. What do you think a kid like this is looking for in a college, and what are the scouts and what are the coaches telling him? Say, hey, you need to come to our school, and this is why. And who do you think he'll end up with?
Well, he's still a junior, so he's got some time, and I think you're going to see dominoes fall once he makes that decision. Is he going to make it his junior year? I really don't know. I mean, he had the offer from Va Tech and from Iowa after his sophomore season, which was his first year starting for Avon. He is a traditional pocket passer, drop back, has all the athletic abilities, has a high football IQ, has great arm strength, and if you are looking for that traditional drop-back passer, somebody that can run, get out of the pocket, make some yards with his feet, but is always looking downfield, he's the quarterback that I think a lot of schools would like to get. I know IU is very interested, and Kevin Wilson down there has his eye on all these guys here in Central Indiana. Darrell Hazel, he's already made his offer to Hunter Johnson at Brownsburg, but Johnson's a sophomore. So Purdue would be, you know, you're looking 3 years away before Johnson's able to play up in West Lafayette. Kastner and Trudeau are interesting, but I think a lot of people are going to wait to see what happens with Brandon Peters. Where does he fit best? I don't know. After watching IU the first week go from a throw it all over the field to putting up over 400, almost 500 yards of offense on the ground, who knows what Kevin Wilson's offense is going to look like in 2 years.
Well, we see that every year. What is Kevin Wilson's going to look like in a year from now? And I hope IU does well in the Big Ten. I know we're on a high school football conversation, but I think that he would be a good fit down there at IU. IU's going to need some help, and certainly I think he's the one that can do it. Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, you're up with Brian Scott.
Well, again, like Tom said, Brian, thanks for joining us. We talked about this a little bit last time, and we said that, you know, week one is for high school football. You don't have the preseason. You don't have any of that. It's go time from week one. After looking at week one, and now we're at the second week out there, is there any teams that are looking like they're going to, for lack of better terms, be either a good or a bad surprise from where they finished at last year?
I don't know. I think it's still kind of early with some of the conference schedules just beginning last night. The Hoosier Crossroads Conference streamlining from 10 teams to 7. They began conference play last night. Of course, we still don't know what's going to happen in that Ben Davis Pike game. They're about ready to resume that game in about 20 minutes with Pike having the ball up by 4 and a minute 44 left in field goal territory. The Metropolitan's going to come down to, as it always is, with all those teams beating up on one another. Can you say, is there a surprise in any of them? No, not right now. I had Ben Davis as my number one team after last week's game with Avon. But right now, there might be some questions about the Giants. Can they stop anybody? Avon moved the ball on Ben Davis. They just couldn't stop that offensive juggernaut. And Pike was down, but I heard early in the first half at Avon that, you know, Pike was down 21-0, and all of a sudden Beau Trudeau and that offense just started going nuts in the second half. There's over 1,000 yards of offense already in that game, and Trudeau is, I think, thrown for over 400 yards. So the Giants may be able to put up points on anybody, but they evidently can't stop anybody either, and the same might be said for Pike. Carmel is doing a little bit of it, I think, with smoke and mirrors. They've got a great defense. Shakir Paschal was great last night. Warren Central has been playing well. Center Grove is another team that, you know, you'll see a couple of losses, but what does that mean come tournament time? I talked about Cathedral last week. They a couple weeks ago, they were 4-5 at the end of the regular season, yet they went on to win the 5A title. So it's with the way the tournament is, sometimes the records may not mean as much. If you want to look at offenses, yes, Avon, Ben Davis, Pike, they have probably the strongest offenses around. Brownsburg has been – if you want to look at a team that I think has been a bit of a surprise, it might be Brownsburg. They came from behind to defeat Franklin last night, and they've got a junior running back, Toksak and Rabati, that rushed for a school record 348 yards. And, again, they have Hunter Johnson, who has already got offers from Tennessee and Purdue, and he's a sophomore. So they may be a bit of a surprise, but a lot of it's going to depend. You know, Brownsburg and Avon, they play each other next week. So we'll probably get a better feel about how that Brownsburg offense does against a very good defense.
Well, and now when you get to pro sports, I mean, there's always those two teams at play that are just fun to watch. Throw out records, throw out all that. Is there two schools in this area that for you would say are probably and high school football here is fun no matter what, but is there any two schools that you would say for you is just flat out probably one of the funnest games to watch?
Well, since I cover mainly Hoosier Crossroads Conference, I can sit there and say that for years it was Brownsburg and Avon. I think over the past 10 years, once Fishers, they split that Hamilton Southeastern School District up, and you have HSE and Fishers. That's probably become the biggest rivalry, but that is more of in a similar regards to Brownsburg and Avon, where kids are so close and they see each other. Not only they see each other after school, they all go to the same camps. Hamilton Southeastern and Fishers, you got kids that may have gone to certain of the same schools before they went to high school. That's probably become the biggest rivalry in Central Indiana, in my opinion. But then again, I watch mainly a lot of Hoosier Crossroads Conference. They will play for the Mud Sock. Fishers and Hamilton Southeastern play this coming Friday for the Mud Sock, and both teams are coming off of losses. I know Scott May, Southeastern Royal, he's going to have a whole lot to scream about this week because they looked really bad. And Fishers, I'm a little surprised they lost to Noblesville last night. I really expected them to beat the Millers, but Lance Scheib at Noblesville, he's built a very good program. They play very solid football. They played very well last year, and then they got a big win last night. So both Fishers and Southeastern coming off of losses, it will be one of those games throughout the records. They will be going at it hard and heavy at Hamilton Southeastern Friday.
Well, we're talking with Brian Scott from XRB Radio and Brian Spott. I appreciate you, Kevin, stepping in there. I'm playing with some new equipment, Brian, and you can appreciate that. Sometimes things don't always go as you anticipate. But, Brian, I want to also talk with you about another game, a really good game, actually, last night between Triton and Indianapolis Lutheran. Certainly a good game. Control all the way to the end, and then all of a sudden there, Triton, I believe it was Triton that came back with a field goal at the end to win that.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of that's going to be the reason a lot of people are going to talk about that is, of course, Triton Central has a female kicker, and she's I think there was a female kicker in one of the southern schools. Triton's is Samantha Dewey. I think she's a senior. Played soccer, went out for the football team, and hit, you know, I think it was like a 23, 24-yard field goal. So, you know, it's a big win for Triton Central. Triton Central is one of those teams in Central Indiana that because they're a 2A school, they don't get a lot of press, a lot of pub, but the Tigers have always been a very, very strong team. And, you know, it's a great story, and it's something that I think you'll see a lot of people, of course, going to be talking about. My understanding is she is an outstanding soccer player, And in high school, especially down at that level in 2A, 1A, you're really looking for somebody who can simply kick the ball. We think it's an easy thing to do. It's not, especially to do with any accuracy. So, you know, props go out to Samantha Dewey in Triton Central. She gets kicks a clutch field goal and gets Triton Central to win.
Well, absolutely, and then we want to go to the other end of the spectrum, which was total blowout action up in Fort Wayne last night. Fort Wayne Lures, I think, wins 47-0. Unfreaking believable.
Well, it's and Lures has had a good program for many years. So you look at some of those schools like Lures and Dwinger and who have traditionally put up and. You know, in high school, especially when you get out of Central Indiana, it's a lot of people, much like we hear about East Coast bias and all that, there's a lot of people that will talk about Central Indiana bias when it comes to football, high school football especially. And when you take a look at the polls and you see that the majority of the top 10, I think 8 of them or 7 of them are from Central Indiana – well, the reason being that's where all the kids are and that's where the majority of the better football programs are. When you get to the outlying areas, even especially around Fort Wayne, because once you get out of Fort Wayne, you're really into a lot of rural areas. So when they start scheduling, you end up seeing a lot of 5A versus 4A and 5A versus 3A, and you get a lot of these blowouts. I think we saw that with the Penn Kingsmen last year. They are a 6A school, but they're also really – there's only one or two 6A schools up in north central Indiana. So they play a lot of 5A and 4A talent, and then they come down and they still played well as Corey Yeoman has built a really great program up there at Penn, but they come down and they get beat by Carmel, and a lot of people go, hey, see? And there's something to be said about these central Indiana schools, all the big schools playing each other. They get themselves ready for the tournament. And you don't normally see these kind of blowouts around this area because the talent level is so much better.
Well, absolutely. And also joining us is Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. And you know what? We look at some other games just going across the state here. New Albany, Genesee County, 44-19 last night. And then you look at Indianapolis, Bishop Chatard against Ron Colley. That's a game you kind of want to look at because in that series, Ron Colley and Chatard are both storytellers for this season, Brian.
Yeah, I saw Chatard and Brebeuf to open the season at Lucas Oil Stadium. And I think you look at that game and you say, well, Chatard kind of dominated that game. But I think I looked at the stats. There wasn't 250 yards of total offense for both teams. So, you know, Chatard got the points and they got the win. I've been looking at, from what I saw, they only put up 138 total yards. So, not a great offensive showing on either side. Chatard, they're going to be another force to reckon with. Bruce Cyphers, Ron Colley may lose some games as the season progresses, but again, what he does there at Ron Colley, they get ready for the tournament. And sometimes we have to take what we see during the regular season with a little bit of grain of salt because the way Indiana's set up with their tournament, it's not like Illinois, it's not like Ohio, where you have to have pretty much a winning record to get in the tournament. That puts more emphasis on the regular season. In Indiana, you could go 0-9, make the tournament, and then, you know, put out a string of 5-6 games, depending on your class, and win a state title.
Well, also, you know, talk about some powerhouses in the southern part of the state. You look at Columbus North and Bloomington North, and I'm really kind of impressed with this Mitchell Kelly kid. He had 41 rushing yards last night as well. So you got to look at possibly that there's some colleges looking at this young junior up and coming down at Columbus North as well, Brian.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of looking. I mean, Columbus North – Tim Bless is the brother of Avon head football coach Mark Bless. They get beat last night. And again, especially with running backs, Columbus North is a 6A school, but it's a lot tougher to gauge what running backs do in high school to and try to project how well they'll do in college. They a lot of times these high school running backs are small. They don't have the strength or the build that will take them into the college levels. I mean, it's a lot easier to look at certain quarterbacks, and when you see a kid like Peters or Beau Trudeau, and they've already got a nice frame and a nice build, and you look at protecting them, and they've got the athletic ability. A running back, if you look a lot of these high school running backs, they're 5'9", 5'10", maybe. They weigh, your good ones may weigh 185. They've got strength. Maybe they've got good lower body strength, and maybe they've got some speed. I think the one in Central Indiana that will get the most is Brownsburg's Toksak and Rabadi. He does have a better physique. He's got explosive speed, and he's got great strength. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He'll probably get a better look, but colleges, I think they really wait till that senior year to look at a running back and say, okay, this guy looks like he's going to grow. He's going to get stronger. We're going to be able to build him up during off season training. Colleges can do it so much better than a high school can get a kid ready. But a lot of high school games nowadays. And again, I look at Ben Davis and Pike. It's Madden football for real. And we put up some really ungodly numbers, but how it projects to college, that's a lot tougher to fathom.
Well, I want to talk about one more big game between the big schools and the big powerhouses around Central Indiana here, and that was Carmel and Avon last night. I had an opportunity to listen to that on the radio as well, and a great defensive game that was pretty much the entire first half. And you look at Carmel and you look at Avon, and I said Avon, I am so sorry, I meant Center Grove. When you look at Carmel and you look at, you were at the Avon game, I know what I'm saying, I'm just saying the wrong teams, but that's okay. Carmel and Center Grove, I'm sorry, down there in Trojan Land on the south side of Indianapolis, certainly a good defensive game between two good defensive teams. When you look at Center Grove and you look at Carmel, what are your thoughts when you look at a game like last night with Carmel and Center Grove 14-7?
Well, it was really all about Shakir Paschal and Carmel. In my opinion, they're doing a little bit with smoke and mirrors. They've got a good defense. Their offense, they're still kind of trying to figure out. I mean, they've moved Isaac James, who was All-Mick at quarterback last year for Carmel. They moved him out to wide receiver, and they're starting Michael Victorup at quarterback. Victorup, probably a better passer, but, you know, he only, I think, threw for 75, 80 yards last night. It really came down to Shakir Paschal, who had, I think, three touchdowns and got that touchdown late to secure the win for Carmel. Center Grove, again, this is all about the Metropolitan beating up on each other, pretty much the same way the Hoosier Crossroads Conference will. You take a look at that game, and Carmel's had a pretty good defense. I'd say Warren Central probably has a little better defense than Carmel. And, you know, Carmel's defense is really going to be tested next week when Beau Trudeau and the Red Devils from Pike take a visit. We'll probably get a much better feel. How good is Carmel? They beat Hamilton Southeastern in week one, but they had to get a touchdown late in that game to secure the victory. They barely got out of Kentucky last week with a victory over Trinity, and Trinity beat them at Carmel last year. They win last night at Warren Central, so they're 3-0. They'll likely be the number one team in the state come Tuesday. But next week will probably be the biggest test because Carmel hasn't played yet a team like Pike, and then they'll have to play Ben Davis as well, where they're really going to have that defense tested. Center Grove, you know, they've now lost two on the season. They'll still be a very, very good team. And I think next week, you know, they're going to have to play at Ben Davis. So Coach Eric Moore's team is really going to have to you know, dig deep and find out what they are going to who they're really going to be as this season progresses. They lost the close game to Warren Central. They barely got by a very good Whiteland team. Whiteland lost last night to, I think, Decatur Central, and Decatur Central has another good quarterback on their own. But Center Grove, they lose to Carmel. Now they're going to have to play at Ben Davis. And depending on how this game at Pike finishes out this morning, they could be facing a very, very upset Ben Davis squad.
Well, Ben Davis, and I wish we had some time to get into this, Brian, but Ben Davis has got a lot of reasons to be honked off, especially when it comes to rankings and everything else. Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, what do you got for Brian? We've got just a little bit of time left with Brian in our high school football segment today. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, and he brought up the Cardinal Pike, and that's where I was going to kind of go with him on the next one was, you know, we saw in pro football last year, you could have a powerhouse offense, but if your defense is questionable, you're going to lose some stuff. And I was going to ask him what he thought of the defense of Cardinal coming up to, you know, a tough school of Pike and then bouncing off to another really tough school of Carmel. If you had to predict or guess outcomes, do you see Carmel splitting them, or do you see them winning both, or where do you look at Carmel coming out of? Because, like you said, these next two games are some pretty high, tough challenges for that defense.
Well, high school and high school football is so much different than college. I mean, and as you move up in levels, you know, they tell you, you know, when you look at the pros, that's the best of the best, and the kids that were all-stars in high school and all-state are just another player in college. You can see in high school, and you can just look at development, when Ben Davis played Avon, Ben Davis has three wide receivers that are all 6'1", 6'2", and taller. Brennan Gillis is 6'5", 6'6". You can sometimes exploit a lot of matchups. Ben Davis is going to be a problem for anybody because they've got those three very tall wide receivers with very good hands and run very nice routes. Kyle Kastner has the ability. I don't think he's got the arm, which is probably why he's not getting as many looks. He has the football IQ. He does have good athletic ability. And what he did against Avon last week was basically make his progressions and make his reads. Pike has got a lot more speed at wide receivers. They will beat you off the ball and get behind you quickly. And now Beau Trudeau has really no offers, I'm sure, after or not even really a lot of serious looks. He didn't look all that great until maybe late in the season last year. He's on fire this year, and I'm sure as he'll get more looks, but he's showing now that he can make that throw. In high school, yeah, it's a lot tougher. Carmel, they play a very, very fundamentally sound brand of football. As you know, Kevin Wright has just done an outstanding job with that program. They play sound on both sides of the ball. They will play very fundamental defense. They won't take Avon takes a lot of chances defensively. You will see some blitzing. Ben Davis blitzes a lot. You'll see a lot of stunts and stuff from Ben Davis. But Carmel will play you sound. They'll try to keep everything underneath and limit yards after the catch. Can they do that against a Ben Davis or a Pike? Well, for Pike, they're going to have to be able to catch their wide receivers. And Ben Davis, Kastner just throws it to where your guys can't get it. So that'll be a true test. You know, they've got Pike next week. They'll have Ben Davis the first week of October. And then, you know, you've got those two games and then the second to the last game of the season at Warren Central. Otherwise, Carmel's got a great chance to run this through. But next week at Pike, I would rather say Carmel will probably go down in that game.
We're talking with Brian Scott, certainly a foremost authority in high school football around the state from XRB Radio at 1610 AM there in Brownsburg, producer and play-by-play for AudioSportsOnline.net, and of course,
Spot Radio. What's going on with Scott Spot? Well, you just got. We'll get with him in just a second on that. But real quickly, Scott, I had on my notes here, I wanted to talk about Lucas Oil and what, how huge it is to let these kids play out there and get the experience of playing out there in a big stadium like that. Certainly we've got, I believe today we've got Southport and Perry Meridian playing as well from down there at the south side. And I know they mix the schools around. When you look at these schools playing on the south side at Lucas Oil, the Perry Meridian Falcons and the Southport Cardinals, they play today. They get to do that every other year. How cool is that for these young kids to play at Lucas Oil when they may not be able to in the state championship?
Well, it's a testament to what the Indianapolis Colts, they have. The Colts are huge supporters of high school football here in the state of Indiana. Lucas Oil Stadium has also done a lot to help bring teams in. But a guy that probably doesn't get enough credit because the opening games of the season, the Chatard Brebeuf game and the Avon Lawrence Central game, that was put on by Lucas Oil Stadium as the Horseshoe Kickoff Classic. But Ray Copton of Copton Strategy, he's the one that's really behind a lot of these Saturday double and quadruple headers that you see as he gets the sponsorships, he gets everybody to be able to pitch in and help allow these kids to come in and play on the turf at Lucas Oil Stadium, get to see themselves up on the big jumbotrons. And a lot of times, sometimes these kids can get a little nervous. You're in the same locker rooms that Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Tom Brady have all dressed in. And sometimes it can be a little intimidating, but I've yet to see a kid that, you know, win, lose, doesn't matter, just to have that experience. But a lot of props go to the Indianapolis Colts, to Lucas Oil Stadium, and Ray Compton.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today. Brian Scott of XRB Radio, sports director for 1610 AM XRB and XRBRadio.com, producer and play-by-play for AudioSportsOnline.net, and Scott Spot. Real quickly, Scott, what's going on Scott Spot Radio this week?
On Scott Spot Sports, which can be heard from 9 to 10 at www.scottspot.net and also indianatalks.com. I'm looking to, I believe, Dean Hockney from the Kokomo Herald will join me. We're going to talk a little bit about some North Central Conference football here around Howard County, meaning, you know, you've got the Kokomo Wildcats and several other teams. So the three teams that were dropped from the Hoosier Crossroads Conference are now in the North Central Conference. We'll talk a little bit about that and talk about some other. A lot of high school football. I'll usually have the rankings by then, so we'll take a look and see what happens in all the classes in Indiana high school football.
Well, Brian, I appreciate you joining us. Certainly, we've got a great weekend of football ahead of us, not to mention Notre Dame today and the Colts tomorrow. Brian, you have yourself a good weekend. We look forward to having you on again soon here on The Balance, sir.
All right, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. Brian Scott, love having him on. I tell you what, one of the foremost authorities in high school football around the state of Indiana. Of course, not to mention Bob Lovell, which our next guest, Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, knows well as well. But we're going to get into more conversation. But we do have some college football to talk about. We've got some Colts football to talk about. So right around the corner is Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, and we'll be right back right after this on The Balance Radio Network.
Hey,
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for? All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. What a great first hour we've had. Myself and Redneck from Philly talking about a little NASCAR action down in Richmond. And then Brian Scott from XRB Radio, Scott Spout, and just all over the state of Indiana when it comes to high school football. Certainly, chances are you've heard him do a play-by-play for one of your favorite teams as well. Well, joining us now is Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, of course, our partner in crime, Mr. Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. Matt, welcome back to The Balance, sir.
Well, thank you, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to have you after a little bit of a hiatus from you. love having you on. And, you know, we were just talking some high school football, and I know that you do very well with high school football. And certainly you've worked with Bob Lovell and worked with Bob Lovell. You don't get any better than high school football than Bob Lovell. And, you know, I just feel cool that last night he retweeted some of my tweets. So, you know, I feel like, you know, you've made it once Bob Lovell retweets you, man.
I've been spoiled. When I first broke into the Indianapolis market, Bob was my first boss, if you will. I produced Sports Talk way back in, I think, 2003 and 2004 is when I first started working with that show, produced it occasionally. And just to give you an idea of who the full-time producer at that time was, it was none other than Channel 6's Michael Grady. So
there you go.
It's kind of definitely a divergent career path for the two of us. Nonetheless, it's been a lot of fun.
It's a good resume builder anyway. It's certainly a good letter of recommendation. You know, real quickly, if there's anything you want to add on last night's action, certainly we talked a lot about it yesterday. Certainly you had Carmel and Cinna Grove, and you had a lot of the powerhouses. And as Brian talked about, you had a lot of the metropolitan schools just beating up on each other. Anything that stands out from last night's action before we get into some college football talk and then the Colts, of course?
Yeah, no, I think I think definitely there's some things to look at. I think Avon had a nice bounce back last night. You know, going up against the power that is Ben Davis, you know, they obviously got pretty mightily last week, and then this week they bounced back nicely. Some good play from the young quarterback that's getting some attention, well, at least in the Midwest, if not nationally. And then there was obviously several games that are finishing up. In fact, Ben Davis and Pike, I know, just got back underway. They had a couple minutes left to go in that game, and that was a shootout. Looks like Ben Davis is going to be able to hang on, but there's time left for Pike to make a run. So, yeah, it was a good night for football despite the weather. And, you know, we've gotten used to that now in Indiana. You don't know if you're going to have rain, sleet, or snow, but it seems like you're going to have something on Friday night.
You may have it all at the same day. You may have sunshine, then rain, then snow, and then sleet. And who knows the way things are going this year? We may have snow tomorrow. I don't know.
That's right.
But we may have snow tomorrow. You know, talk about rankings. Ben Davis cannot be happy with the ranking committee at the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if they put a lot of stock into that. But, yeah, I think there's some contention there. That looks to me clearly the number one team in the state, especially when they're getting some national ranking.
But the
schedule will play out.
But yet, clearly, they're not the number one team in but that's okay, according to the IHSA. That's all right. That's all that matters. It's just an opinion. Well, I'll tell you what, one opinion we do want to get into in the conversation that we want to get into in our college football Saturday talk. And, of course, obviously we're going to get into some Colts talk, and that's one of the big reasons we brought Matt on. But, of course, today it's Michigan and our
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
All right, today's the day at Notre Dame Stadium against the Michigan Wolverines. Matt, redneck from Philly, I tell you what, I'm an IU fan, don't get me wrong. I graduated from Indiana University, and just like you're an Indiana State fan, I'm sure, and of course last week we saw Indiana State and IU do battle, but there's just something about a game called Notre Dame and Michigan that just makes you want to say, go Irish. Or Wolverines, for that matter.
No question.
When we look at the Notre Dame game and we look at the Irish game, certainly a lot of implications on the national scale and on the BCS scale. And you look at both of these schedules going in today's game against Notre Dame, and they're both 1-0 tonight, 7:30 on NBC national television. Notre Dame, Michigan, college football is back officially tonight on NBC. What are some of the things you look at between these two teams?
Well, we're going to learn a lot about Notre Dame tonight. Quite frankly, at home, this is a game Notre Dame should win. I don't know if they should win it handily. I think 3.5, the Vegas odds, that sounds about right to me. But it's a game they should win. If this is a game Notre Dame drops, we're going to see where they are. I think with Golson coming back, he has a chance tonight. You know, national stage, he has a chance to get in to the peripheral of the Heisman conversation, if you catch my meaning here. A big night from him, you'll have a rumbling, a very faint rumbling about the Heisman conversation with him. And listen, Notre Dame's got a tough schedule. I mean, for them to think about running the table, to go through the likes of Stanford, even North Carolina, of course, the looming matchup on the 18th of October with number one Florida State, but Arizona State, too. And don't discount Louisville and one of the, quote-unquote, non-conference ACC games. So there's some tough weeks ahead for Notre Dame, for sure. You know, a lot of people, a couple of years ago when this schedule was starting to take place and take shape, people were kind of lauding Notre Dame. Well, you're not playing as tough a schedule as you used to. Well, okay, that's fine. You know, Rice is not top competition, I would grant you, but they still won 10 games last year. And it's a lesser conference. I get all that. But, I mean, this is a team that's decent. You got a decent showing out of your team against them. So, yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot about Notre Dame in the next 3 weeks. You know, tonight, Michigan, if they can hang on at home against Michigan, then they go to Lucas Oil to play Purdue. That's, you know, want to be nice to the Purdue fans. Let's be realistic. That's a gimme for Notre Dame. But you can be subject to the almighty letdown in that game, too, and you don't want to get caught with your pants down against Purdue, for sure. And then you've got the big matchup against Stanford, which is going to be really probably the biggest test to that point for Notre Dame. But, yeah, I think you're going to learn a lot about Notre Dame, and if they're a contender or a pretender, that's going to show tonight.
Well, I can tell you what, both of these teams have been contenders. Notre Dame and Michigan are separated only by 6/10,000ths of a point as college football's all-time winning percentage. And certainly after tonight's game, the winner will be the NCAA leader in the winning percentage as far as that goes. But one stays in the Big Ten and one's going over to the ACC, so they may not be able to go on another date for a while.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but you have to understand that this is modern college football. Notre Dame was not going to be able to maintain their complete independence. If you read between the lines, it sounds like the Big Ten was more than willing to accept Notre Dame as a member, but on their terms. So Notre Dame had to find a conference that would accept them on their terms, and they were able to do that with the ACC. Listen, it's a strong conference. They've got good teams. They'll get to make up, four games a year out of the ACC. So that'll take up some of those Big Ten matchups. So you'll see more of a rotation between Purdue and Michigan State and Michigan as opposed to playing all three like they were able to do in the past.
Well, Kevin, go ahead. Do you have anything for Matt on Notre Dame and Michigan or any college football for that matter before we get into some big-time NFL talk?
No, I mean, not really necessarily on the Notre Dame game at Michigan. I'm looking forward more out of the Big Ten, the Michigan State-Oregon. That's probably out of all the games, you know, yeah, the rivalry of Notre Dame-Michigan, that's going to make that game good. But when it comes to just pure football, that's going to be a really good game. I'm looking forward to see what Michigan State and Oregon could do against each other.
Yeah, that's a game that I find very interesting. Obviously, two top 10 teams, the only matchup between two top 10 teams this week, number 7 and number 3. Oregon, the favorite in this game, at home. Michigan State's got a tall task ahead of them, but if they can pull this out and slow down Marcus Mariota and that Oregon offense, which, quite frankly, has started to show signs of missing Chip Kelly over the last 6 to 8 games, and I think Michigan State has a chance to hang around in this game, and if they can do that and give themselves a chance to win and hang on, they're going to have every chance to play in the 14 playoff at the end of the season.
Well,
all right.
You know, there is one team that's not missing Chip Kelly, and we're going to get in that with the NFL. We know who that is, don't we?
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, guys, you know, it wasn't it was a lot bigger of a buildup last year when the Broncos came to Indianapolis, and we heard things like this.
Volunteer player with a pedigree. Told myself that you were right for the team, but secretly I wanted Ryan Leaf. But I was wrong and you're the best I can remember. had to let you go. Faith in my team was at an all-time low. But I'll admit the statement you read made me cry.
I truly have enjoyed being your quarterback.
But I know we had to cut you off. You were awesome, but you're gonna break it. Kept on breaking. Now we've dropped it in too long. Cause what you got as painter was a little bit rough. And even though you ran too far, you wanna ring, broke some records, so hang up your number. I guess all goals become wrong goals. Now you're just some QB that I used to know.
All right, just some QB that I used to know. We played that here on the show last year, and I tell you what, everybody loved it, and I thought, you know, what an intro. This year, it's not just a quarterback that we used to know. It's just another quarterback in the NFL, unfortunately, although Peyton Manning, Matt, and Kevin will never be just another quarterback, but no longer is number 12 and 18 the War of 18-12. It is the War. You got Peyton Manning in Denver, and you got Andrew Luck. Both of them, they're being the general in their own perspective teams, Matt. Peyton Manning is no longer the quarterback we used to know.
Well, yeah, he may just be another quarterback, but he's probably the best quarterback in the NFL. That's going to pose, a big problem for the Colts this weekend, with or without Wes Welker.
Well, let me ask you this, and we'll get into this conversation about the Colts and the Broncos. Peyton Manning gets a taunting call for defending none other. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of interesting. We were talking about this with some Denver media the last couple of weeks and some local media on the Jersey Johnny show, and I think what we've kind of all come to the conclusion of is this is a situation where a guy sees the light at the end of the tunnel, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I mean, I think he's enjoying playing, and he's not going to hold anything back anymore. Could you imagine 10 years ago Peyton Manning in a press conference talking about drinking a beer? That never happened here. I don't want to say he didn't have any personality because, listen, he was very funny, and my interactions with Peyton were always very, very pleasant and humorous. But he held back, and he is not holding back in Denver. And I think that's a real treat, not just for the Denver fans, but for the NFL in general. I mean, the rap video and things like that. I mean, those aren't things he wouldn't have done here, but he's getting a little more loose with what he'll do now and what he'll joke about. And I enjoy it. You know, I'm happy for him that it worked out. I think we all need to remember back to when the Broncos signed him, and the reality of it was is they still didn't even know if he'd be able to play the first game of the regular season. And if you remember those first 4 weeks, to be candid, he was not good. Now, they were able to pull out those games because of the team around him, but this team now is going to rely on him more than it has in the last couple of seasons, even last year where he set all those records. This team is definitely now switch to his team. They found some veteran help on defense, but we'll have to see if that helps or not. But to answer your question, I think it's great. I mean, if he's gonna have a good time these last couple of years, let him have it. And I mean, I don't think he'll ever do anything to cost his team a victory in a regular season game. But if he's gonna have a good time and jaw with some guys, go for it. Have at it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Real quickly, guys, Brian Scott just tweeted out that Ben Davis wins. Giants win. Oh, drives 83 yards to win with 55 seconds remaining. Final
wow.
Score 56-53, Matt. So
wow.
There you go.
Ben
Davis making a statement.
Well, they certainly are, and that is a team that I think we're going to have to keep our eye on this entire season and see if they suffer a blemish or not. They are offensively gifted. Let's put it that way.
Offensively gifted. That's what she said. Hey, you know what? I want to get your thought on this. Maybe you saw this news story. We were talking about it at the very beginning of the show. Check this out. You know, I always knew this was true, Matt, but apparently there's a new study, a new medical study, and you can't argue with medical science. I mean, it's science. You can't argue with it. They say that men who stare at breasts actually have a better ticker. Their heart is healthier. I've always said that. I've always believed that. So from now on, anytime, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, or just, well, let's hope not some girl on the street, but if
Whoa.
She says, hey, my eyes are up here, all you got to say is, hey, I'm trying to keep my heart healthy for you, baby. You know, I'm just saying.
That sounds like good medical advice to me.
Good medical advice, you know. So, you know, we got to keep our ticker healthy. I mean, too many people are dying of heart attacks these days. It's important that we exercise heart healthiness, Matt. Well, let's get into this conversation. We got the Broncos and we got the Colts at Denver. We got Andrew Luck. We got Peyton Manning. Reggie Wayne is back. Certainly last year when the Colts played the Broncos at Lucas Oil, that's when Reggie Wayne went down and, you know, all the cameras went to Peyton Manning and Peyton knew then when he saw his friend goes down, this is not good. Reggie Wayne is back, but is Reggie Wayne back, Matt?
Well, that we don't know. And I've heard this morning, in fact, that he will not be limited in his snap count. They're going to let him go full bore. I expect him... We saw in years past less of Reggie Wayne, you know, a situation where after he made a catch, he would take a playoff, go sit on the sideline. And that's the great thing with a guy like Dante Monk. You know, you got some depth. You look at this Colts team, and they suffer the same thing that every other NFL team, and I mean everyone, 1 through 32. They don't have any depth except at two positions. They've got some depth at wide receiver right now, barring injury, and they've got depth at quarterback. Now, you're not often able to say that, but in this instance, you probably have the two best quarterbacks in the division, at least right now you do. We'll see how Blake Bortles progresses throughout the season in Jacksonville. But you look at the wide receiver core, it's a pretty good wide receiver core. You're going to see a lot of guys, I think, in and out. You're going to see Dante Moncrief, not much, but occasionally. You're going to see Griff Whalen occasionally. Then don't forget the rising star in T.Y. Hilton. And the other question mark, aside from Reggie Wayne, is Akeem Nicks. He's an injury-prone guy, and if he can stay healthy, this offense, when you add in Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener and a bag of mystery in Trent Richardson, they're going to score a lot of points. I'm just worried about the defense's ability to stop the other team.
Kevin Chapman, the redneck from Philly, what do you got for Matt Hicks on the Colts and the Broncos?
Well, and I guess the biggest question I have is, you know, obviously I'm disappointed at why Welker's out. I know we had a concussion, and then now we're finding out he's suspended for 4 weeks. But with the Colts offense and the defense that we have right now, I mean, I should say Denver's offense and the defense with missing Mathis, I've said from day one when the Colts missed him that these first 2 weeks are going to be a big challenge to the defense because you've got quarterbacks that – now, Nick Foles is nowhere near as good as Peyton Manning, but he's got some really good weapons, and he's got Peyton Manning that could just tear anybody up when he wants. Without that rush of Mathis, do you think it's going to be as big of a hit on the defense as I do, or do you think I'm just overlooking it?
No, it's a big, big hit on the defense. The two keys on defense to last year's game against the Denver Broncos were Robert Mathis and the play of Darius Butler. Now, you've got Butler. Now, he is free now to cover somebody other than Wes Welker. That will benefit the Colts greatly. They're going to have to play a lot of coverage. They're going to blitz Manning, but you take your life into your own hands when you do that. Sometimes Manning doesn't pick it up, but the reality of it is, more often than not, he does. This is the Baltimore defense now. The remake is now over. This is it. This is what we can expect. We have strong middle linebacking play, good cover corners, hard-hitting safeties that sometimes miss, and a decent pass rush when Mathis is in. But when Mathis is out, you lose that pass rush. You lose the Terrell Suggs of that Baltimore defense, so they are now vulnerable. And let's just remember that Baltimore defense in the Manning era of the Colts did slow the Colts offense down. In fact, there was a game, a playoff game, that I think Adam Vinatieri won, about 5 field goals to 3. So you keep that in mind. There are ways to slow Manning down, but he's going to move the ball down the field. You have to keep him out of the end zone, and that's going to be that's going to be the key, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the lack of Mathis is going to put a lot of pressure on Bjorn Werner to get to Peyton Manning when they're not blitzing him, and blitzing can be very, very dangerous against a Peyton Manning offense.
Matt, let me ask you this. Robert Mathis not playing for the Colts, how big of an impact is that going to be out there in Denver?
Very big. I don't know that it's the difference between a win and a loss, but it is out there with your best pass rusher, arguably the best pass rusher in the NFL. It's a big loss. That's going to be something they're going to struggle to overcome. Like Redneck and Philly said, these first 2 weeks, I mean, you've got two high-powered offenses that like to throw the ball quickly, and when you've got a guy like Mathis that can get to the quarterback just as quick, you're gonna miss that in a hurry.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you joining us. I know you told me that you could only be with us till 10:30, so that only gives us just a few more moments here left on your clock that you gave us. So real quickly, any final thoughts that you'd like to talk with us about that we haven't talked about, whether it be high school football, Notre Dame, or the Colts, or breast?
Well, that's a good conversation. I want to be clear. I like this Colts team. I don't know that they are ready to compete in a Super Bowl yet, but this is a good Colts team. If they stay healthy, they're going to be in the conversation all year long. They're going to be right there. They may not have the gaudy record, and that is what is going to hold them back as far as home field advantage or any kind of bye week or anything like that. But they're going to be around in games like the Denver game and the New England game. They're not going to get blown out like you saw last year. They're going to be able to hang around. Real quick, if I could, tonight, 8 o'clock at Plainfield High School, the Indy Honor Flight is coming in.
Yes.
Over 70 veterans will be brought back home after their day in D.C. They're in D.C. right now. Hopefully it's a little bit better weather there than it is here in Indiana, but that's to be hoped for. So you can come and greet them and say hello and thank you tonight at 8 o'clock at Plainfield High School.
Absolutely, and what a great cause that is. Thanks for mentioning that as well. Matt, I hope you have yourself a good and a safe weekend, sir. And what is your official prediction between the Colts and the Broncos?
Well, my heart wants the Colts to win this game. I just can't find a reality in which it happens, unfortunately. I think it's going to be a one score, or maybe a two score game. I'm thinking, a 31-24 game, Broncos over the Colts, but a plucky effort from the Colts to keep it close throughout. I just think they're a little overmatched here in week one. If this had been a week eight matchup, I'd think we might have a different conversation. But Peyton Manning's had plenty of time to prepare. That defense has had plenty of time to prepare for Andrew Luck, and I just think that gives them the edge. I do think it's going to be a close game.
Well, I tell you what, we won't banish you this time for going against the Colts, but don't let it happen again, sir. All right, Matt, you have yourself a good weekend. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you having
me. All right, buddy. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, and certainly the counterpart to Jersey Johnny on 1070 The Fan, and does a lot of Colts talk and really knows a lot about the Colts. My name is Saul Marquez, El Presidente. Myself and that redneck from Philly will be back, and we're going to be breaking down fantasy football huddle and more NFL talk. And, of course, today on The Balance, well, we honor the breast.
I know you want to. One thing I ask you, let me be the one you bet. Go from Malibu to Paribu, yeah, have a big bean baddie. So hit me up when you pass through. I give you something to just to tell you where you're swag on them even when you're drag casual. I mean, it's almost unbearable.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away. By doing that, we gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Welcome back! Welcome back! Welcome back!
You like that, don't you?
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
This is Dwayne Allen with the Indianapolis Colts. You're listening to The Balance.
Our fantasy football huddle. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your leader. I am the one that you come to advise. My minions, you will be a better fantasy football player if you just listen to me. This week, we get into the real deal. It has started. The real season has started. And if you have not set up your lineup, well, you need to get on it. Get on it. Well, I'll tell you what. If you had somebody playing on Thursday, if you didn't set them, it is what it is. You just move on forward. And certainly, we've got our own balanced league. I am the proud owner and leader of the Pigskin Pirates. And also, we've got with us is that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. And throughout the year, we're going to be bringing on fantasy experts to help you understand how to set and get ready for your fantasy game this week. So we start week one today. Fantasy football huddle underway. Kevin Chapman, how you doing, sir? Are you ready to talk some football?
You could always talk football.
Man,
football's always a good thing to talk about.
Now, today we honor breasts, and we get to throw that in there, the breastuses, and those that didn't hear me. I mean, here's the thing. I saw this study earlier this week, and, you know, who am I to say no to medical science? But apparently, men who stare at breasts have a healthier ticker. Apparently, they have a healthier heart. Apparently, they are less likely to have a heart attack or heart disease by just simply looking at God's fruits.
Exactly.
So maybe there's some women out there that either have opposing views or agree with us. Is it okay for us to keep our ticker in shape? Just so that we don't die or kill over. We've got families to take care of and so forth. You know, here's the thing. God made women for men. I say, don't blame me, blame Eve. And God knew how to keep his creation healthy. Just saying. So, if there's a reason why they have the cheerleaders on the field. There's a reason.
It's for the football player's health, too. You can't tell me they don't look.
They look. Trust me, they look. And so does the cameraman. You ever wonder how the cameramen that run up and down the field and get all these special angles, how they stay so healthy? How they keep their heart in shape? Well, now we know. Now we know. Well, let's get into some fantasy football talk. 917-889-8516. If you've got some questions on how to set your fantasy lineup, who to start, who to set this week, Kevin, we're gonna get right into it and talk about some fantasy rumors, and get into some stardom and setups. And certainly, we want to talk a little bit about Frank Gore. Frank Gore, running back for the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's gonna have a big week. For the San Francisco 49ers. He's going to have a big week against the Dallas Cowboys. And certainly to start Frank Gore in a fantasy football start and sit him this week would definitely be a good choice. Frank Gore, like I said, running back for the San Francisco 49ers. If you had an eye and watched in the offseason, a lot of people maybe are not that high on Frank Gore, but in most leagues of standard size, he a lot of times he went at a lower end. A lot of people don't have a lot of faith in Frank Gore. I'm going to tell you, this is a good week to have Frank Gore. So, Kevin, we'll start with you. Who are you starting? Who are you setting in week one of fantasy football?
Well, in the balance, unfortunately, I'm down 21-0 already. I'm not really liking the way this week's starting. My opponent happened to have Russell Wilson, which unfortunately scored some points. But right now, I've got Nick Foles, my quarterback. I've got Forte, and Bernard is my running backs. Bernard is the one I'm worried about a little bit. He's going against Baltimore. I'm kind of hoping the Baltimore defense doesn't give me the issues I think they're going to give. I went against every red blood cell in my body and picked a Dallas Cowboy player. And Dez Bryant, of course, T.Y. Hilton. And then I've got Witten from Dallas. And then my defense is the Rams. They're going against Minnesota. I'm hoping they can keep Peterson in check. And then my kickers were with New Orleans. So those are my starters. The only one I sat that I'm kind of wondering what if I should have or not would probably be Brown from San Diego going against Atlanta or Baltimore's defense against Cincinnati. I wish I would have picked them.
Well, and here's who I've got starting, and we'll certainly get into across the league and in various different types of leagues that you may have. I'm going to go ahead and start Tony Romo as my quarterback, Adrian Peterson, my number one pick, which, I'm glad I did now. So Adrian Peterson is my starting running back. Ben Tate, I'm looking for good things for Ben Tate this year. Pierre Thomas of New Orleans, running back, and we run a situation. Let me explain this. I know you just heard me name off three running backs. You're like, well, how do you play three running backs in your league? A lot of leagues have a setup like we have, where you're able to play that flex position between a running back and a wide receiver. And today, this week, I'm playing a running back. So I am, in fact, playing three running backs, but Pierre Thomas is in my flex position. A lot of times when you pick that flex position, maybe you want to look at the stronger strength of your opponent. Remember, in fantasy football, it's not really about the team. It's about the matchup and your opponents. And also my wide receiver, Eric Decker. I'm going to go ahead and give Akeem Nicks a shot. I think that he's going to do well this week. Tell you why. He's going to be a sleeper for a lot of teams, and the reason for that is because I think that we see, as we heard Matt Hicks talk a little bit, that Reggie Wayne has the full green light from the Colts and all the faith, and certainly everybody has all the faith in the world of Reggie Wayne, but I think what you'll see is Andrew Luck will kind of split carries between Akeem Nicks and Reggie Wayne, at least at first, to see how things are going to pan out in the looks and let Reggie Wayne get the feel of being back in the regular season. So the next few weeks would be a good week to start Akeem Nicks if you've got him. Also, I've got Colby Fleener I love Kobe. I've always believed that he was the replacement for number 44, Dallas Clark, the man who I loved for years and adored for years, and I had his jersey and still have the number 44 Indianapolis Colts jersey hanging up in my closet that's now been replaced on my back by number 8, Kobe Fleener. So Kobe, I got him as my starting tight end defense, the Cardinals, and then I got Stephen Hushak of Seattle, who's already played and scored me, I don't know how many points he scored me so far this year, but I guess I can look at the scoreboard and know exactly what he scored me so far this. He scored me 10 points. And
10 points,
Seattle Seahawks has I don't think they missed a beat. I mean, I was really, you know, I was talking with Ed Kratz of the beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he predicted a 2017 win by Green Bay. I predicted a Green Bay win. So certainly it's hard for any home team to win out there at Seattle at night, especially even harder. And Seattle wanted to make a statement to the football world that, hey, we are still the world champions, and they did exactly that on Thursday night. But it was cool. Thursday football is kicked off, and we are ready to go, Kevin. All right, well, let's get into some of go ahead, Kevin. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think a lot of people picked Green Bay to kind of be a shocker for win. And when I look back at it, I'm one of them. I predicted a 3-7 point win. So how Denver, Seattle's, I mean, defense did that, what they did to Aaron Rodgers, I was actually quite surprised.
I was, we're going to see what happens with Seattle, but I certainly would not rule them out. Well, we got to get into our stardom and setup. So, Kevin, as we know how this game goes, I'm going to say start him or set him, and I'm going to go through my thought on this particular player, and you can either feel free to agree or disagree in your particular situation and what you want to do. But our start him and set him, I'm going to start with Colin Kirkpatrick with the 49ers. I think he had a great season in 2013, and really, I think he didn't have a very good preseason that really made him not a top pick on boards, maybe in a lot of fantasy drafts. I do believe that his ADP is in the right range, and his week one matchup against the Dallas Cowboys defense is one that fantasy owners really should take advantage of. The Dallas Cowboys D, think about it this way, Kevin, the Dallas Cowboys D is ranked 31st out of 32 teams versus opposing quarterbacks last year, allowing 26.2 fantasy points. The Cowboys will also be without their quarterback, Orlando Shrenock, who will miss 4 games after being suspended for breaking, wait for it, the NFL's drug policy. So it's a good start. Start him, Kevin, or set him, Colin Kaepernick with the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco treat. Go ahead.
I mean, he's definitely a stardom. He last year he had some shaky games, but like you said, he's going against a defense of Dallas that is having some issues right now. They've picked up some players, but I think with that defense, Kaepernick, he's going to have the ability to put up some pretty good points. He's in a lot of your, when you look it up, ESPN and all them. Kaepernick, he's in the top 5 for recommendation of starting him.
Well, and here's the other thing. As great of advice as El Presidente can give you and be the leader for you, you have got to do your own research. You have got a lot of, you know, you're with ESPN, NFL, Yahoo, a lot of different types of leagues out there. And you might be in various different types of scoring scenarios. We're in a PPR league, our points are based on points per reception. So you do want to do your own research. But I will tell you one thing. Your leader, El Presidente here, and my cohort, Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, will set you up and get you ready to go for your fantasy Tennis Football League, all you have to do is perk your ears up and bring up your rosters right now. Start taking notes. You should not be in this meeting without a notepad. All of you right now should have your notepads going, because I'm about to bestow some wisdom upon you like none other. Fred Jackson of the Bills. Now, Jackson eclipsed the 30-year-old mark 3 years ago. So he's over that 30-year mark, which in the NFL, you know, could be old. The traditional downhill point of a running back's career. Let's face it, they get beat up every week. But really, it hasn't slowed for Fred Jackson down a lot, not even in the least. And, you know, the undrafted back out of a tiny school called Coe College. You know, the thing about it is, in a PPR league, among running backs, Fred Jackson is right there. C.J. Spiller is healthy again, which means that it's a backfield split. But Jackson has always gotten his share of catches and goal touches, and I really, really look for Fred Jackson with the Bills to make a huge impact for fantasy football. So go ahead and start him this week.
My only concern with that is who they're going to go up against, Chicago's defense. You know, so I would start them, but I do have a small concern of the defense he's going up against.
Well, small concern. That's a pretty huge concern. All right, so let's go on. Let's go on here, and we'll talk about Marquise Colston with the Saints. We all know about Jimmy Graham and the addition of rookie Brandon Cooks, but Marquise Colston is still a major part of the Saints offense, excuse me, and has a record-setting offense. And so I really look for good things out of Marquise Colston this year, Kevin.
I agree. And with this week, with going against Atlanta, I think you know, he has some pretty good shots at getting some points for you.
I'd start him over Larry Fitzgerald, DeSean Jackson, or Torrey Smith. If you've got those choices to start him over, I would start this great wide receiver over either one of those threes. Well, Heath Miller go ahead.
I would say my concern with DeSean Jackson right now is we know how potent he is, but we don't know how he's going to fit in with the Washington Redskins offense. We don't know how him and RG3 are going to go. I think he's a good wide receiver to have on your team, but I don't know if I'd start him right away. I'd give it some time to see whether, you know, I definitely wouldn't have him as my number one receiver until we can see how him and he fits into the Redskins team.
Well, I don't know about that. I think he's just a key component in any league right now, and I think you've got to give him a shot here at least in week one or week two. And here's the other thing I want to point out, and I always see this happen, I talk about this every year. You know, oh no, my team's falling apart. I lost, and my players got to give some adjustment time, especially if you have Reggie Wayne, for example. You don't know what's happening in the offseason. There's a lot of things that are going. There's the adjustment. There's injuries they're getting over. So there's a lot of factors. So I always say, don't make any major changes. If you're happy with where they are now, don't make any changes with your team at least week three, and maybe week four as well. So, you know, certainly, and you got to look at Heath Miller being a top tight end, you know, and if you've got, again, if you got to choose him over Charles Clay, Kevin, or Martellus Bennett, certainly Heath Miller would be the guy that you want to go with. Let's talk about some Settums, and I know a lot of people think that he's back to full speed and that this guy is the quarterback of the future. I don't necessarily buy into that propaganda yet. I say set RG3, Robert Griffin III, with the Redskins. RG3 really had a mediocre, at best, preseason, throwing two picks, no touchdowns, and 67 snaps. There seems to be, to me, and again, this is the adjustment period, Kevin, seems to be to me that there's some skittishness in his knee, and he's kind of really not back to full force.
And I don't think that he's not someone I would start anyway until I see the 2012 version of RG3 back on the field. On top of that, he has to face J.J. Watt. He has to face Clowney and the Texans D in week one. I think this is a time, as much as excited as you may be to have Robert Griffin III, RG3, on your team, you don't start him this week.
I have to agree with what I'm saying. And the two things that you pointed out is exactly why. His preseason has not shown the RG3 that everybody fell in love with and the fantasy god that he was at one point for quarterbacks. And then number two, he's going against a defense in week one, learning a new offense. You can't forget that part right there either. They're learning a new offense in Washington. So you've got a lot of factors going in, and you don't want to be facing a team like the Texans defense with those factors going into the football game.
Well, the next guy would set, and I would steer clear of, I don't even know why you'd have him on your team unless you just maybe you didn't show up for draft and you had your team on auto pick, or maybe you just don't have anything else. But Joe Flacco of the Ravens, his 2013 was laughable. And after signing the largest contract in NFL history at the time, come on, man. Joe Cool bottomed out with a career worst of 19 to 22 touchdowns and interception ratio and a 73.1 quarterback rating. The Bengals' defense was sixth best versus QBs last year in two games versus Cincy. Flacco threw only two touchdowns and five interceptions and completed 58.1% of his passes. Pass on Joe Flacco. I think his time in the NFL is rapidly coming to an end.
I agree. I've never, even when he was, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, I personally have never been really impressed with Flacco. And you're right, last year was hideous of his performance.
Hideous, man! Maybe he needs to go work on his ticker a little bit.
He might have to.
Maybe that's what the trainers are saying. Hey, you know, here's what we need you to do. We need you to go out on the field and just work on your ticker.
Well, you know, Tony Romo has done it, so you never know.
You never know.
And Roethlisberger,
right.
They've all tried it.
Hey, man, you know, you can't blame them. You can't blame them. Maurice Jones-Drew, he's a Raider, by the way, guys. And the Jets had fantasy football's second-best defense last year. Set Maurice Jones-Drew with the Raiders. I just can't get that to roll off the tongue. Maurice Jones-Drew, a Raider. Plus, it's the Raiders. So go ahead and set Maurice Jones-Drew.
That's a great idea. Yeah, it definitely is not a – when you say his name, it's very hard to say a team like Oakland. And why he went to a team like that, I'm still not real sure of.
I don't know that he had much of a choice. But,
well, that too, but still. I would have figured out a way to fight that bad boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got just about through these. I would go ahead and set Jerry McClain, even though he's with your Eagles. McClain is on the flip side of the Gerhardt scenario, and the Eagles could be up big early, which means a heavy dose of LeSean McCoy. And after ACL surgery, I'd also like to see McClain play a couple games before I begin to set him. Charles Clay of the Dolphins, go ahead and set him. I don't know. There's rumors out there that the Patriots are planning on possibly shadowing Clay with Darnell Revis. And so with the depth protection, I would say to steer away from Charles Clay. Well, that's going to do it for our Stardom in 7. Kevin Chapman, I tell you what, time flies when you're having fun. Want to thank Brian Scott of XRB Radio and Brian Spout, there we go, and Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan breaking down the Notre Dame and Michigan game and the Colts and the Broncos out in Denver. Now, certainly we've had a great time breaking down fantasy football huddle, but the clock waits for nobody. Mr. Kevin Chapman, you have 45 seconds Rant on, sir.
Well, I don't really rant on, but I do want to do a shout-out. Natalie Deckard and those of you who listen to our show, as we've heard her on here, just want to give a shout-out. She won the 2014 Super Late Model Rookie of the Year, so hats off to that young lady. I know she's tried out for the NASCAR series to go up into the next challenge, so definitely for myself and the Balance team, we're proud of her, and we look forward to talking to her again and when she hits that next level.
Oh, absolutely, and really exciting young girl to watch in her racing career. Well, guys, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, myself and Kevin Chapman. It's been great joining you today, as we do every Saturday morning on The Balance. Make sure you are listening to our encore presentation on Indiana Talks between 1 and 3 p.m. Remember, the Broncos and the Colts take the field tomorrow evening on NBC. And also, NBC is going to be carrying that big game tonight, Notre Dame and Michigan. You got to get on board with that game, because I tell you what, football is back. Follow us on our social media at T-Balance, at ProIndy, and at IndianMay.com. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.